Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Tuesday Night Jaw on the Distraction Pieces Network. I am speaking quietly, for I am in a travel lodge at the moment. This is quite late. I apologise. It's a couple of days late because I have been super mega busy, including being in Glasgow to watch Raw on Monday night, which was most enjoyable. And I've been all over the place doing gigs and various other things and being a dad. So I apologise for the lateness of this. It's now 20 to midnight on the Thursday, so I'm aware this is late, but I'm going to put it up. And it's another one of those episodes where I give you some rules and I make you choose matches. So hopefully you're going to enjoy this like you enjoyed the SummerSlam one. I'm going to tell you my 10 favourite Survivor Series matches of all time. Now, I want you to do the same. Tweet me a picture of it, write it on a note, tweet me a picture of it, and we can discuss it at Jim Smallman, hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw. But I'll get to the rules in a minute. Plugs first. JimSmallman.com/TNJ is where you can find all the links to how to recommend this particular podcast to anybody that you like, and all that jazz. What I would say is my website got hacked quite badly, and I'm going to rebuild it using Squarespace, probably using Pip's code. I'm going to do all that sort of stuff, but so my website's a bit of a mess at the minute, but it's still jimsmallman.com/TNJ. Also, jimsmallman.com/mygirls for you to be able to download my stand-up special. Yay, do that if you can. This podcast's going well, genuinely going well, but it never hurts for more people to listen to it and get eyes on it, or ears on it, rather. So please, if you haven't already, go onto iTunes or wherever you choose to listen to your podcasts. And if you want, if you feel like it, give us a 5-star rating. That'd be really nice. And even if you only listen to the occasional episode, it means a lot to us and it really helps us out if you subscribe. So do all that cool stuff. And obviously subscribe to the other Distraction Pieces Network podcast as well, Pip's actual Distraction Pieces podcast. And also Say Why to Drugs and the Stop and Search podcast as well. Genuinely recommend all three of them. Subscribe to them all. Help the network out. Help all of us out. And just spread the love. That's how it works. Right. Two rules. You must choose your 10 favourite matches from Survivor Series of all time. That's easy. This is where it gets harder. And it's the same rules as SummerSlam. You can only choose one match per year. So you can't pick two matches from the 1998 Survivor Series, for example. You can't choose any wrestler more than once. This is the bit that makes it super, super, super difficult. Reason being, I could easily have picked 10 matches where 5 probably involve Shawn Michaels and 5 probably involve Bret Hart. You can only choose them once, which means, for example, I couldn't choose either of the two amazing multi-man Survivor Series elimination matches from 1987 and 1988 that featured 10 men on each side. They're both great. Couldn't use those because Bret Hart appeared in both of them, and I kind of need to use Bret Hart for another choice. Actually, one of my favourite matches of all time. So that's where it gets super, super complicated. Just looking down my list now, There is actually only one traditional Survivor Series match in it, which is unusual because Survivor Series was one of my favourite pay-per-views when I first started watching WWE. I remember it being the first WWE videos I borrowed off my friend Richard, who was the spoiled friend I've mentioned before, who had all the WWE videos. And I remember them being the first videos that I sort of borrowed. And it was great because you could watch loads and loads of wrestlers on one show and get to know new wrestlers who you perhaps wouldn't see all the time. So that was a big part of my enjoyment of Survivor Series, as it were. Same reason I like the Royal Rumble. You get to see 30 people. You're not necessarily always going to get to see on a pay-per-view. And little surprises and things like that. So, to my list. I'll tell you the year. Obviously, you can watch all of these on the WWE Network. Do go back and watch them if you enjoy them. At Jim Smallman on Twitter, hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw. Let me know that you enjoyed something. Because, you know, I like hearing that you've enjoyed stuff. Some of these choices are going to be a bit weird. Because of my rules, it means that genuinely some of the choices do have to be a bit odd. So, let's see what you think. Right. In at number 10 from Survivor Series 2010 is Dolph Ziggler against Caval. Now, if you don't know who Caval was briefly in WWE, involved in NXT when it was more of a reality TV program, and is one of my favourite independent wrestlers of all time, Loki. It's a rare appearance of Loki on a WWE pay-per-view, which is reason enough to watch this match. As it stands, it's a great match, just at the point where Dolph Ziggler's really starting to sort of get himself known and get himself noticed. And Caval was, let's be honest, Loki. So, I mean, if for any other reason you need to enjoy it, that should be the reason that you take. I mean, this is the same Survivor Series that has got the Nexus featured heavily through it. And, you know, the Nexus storyline was great. But Dolph Ziggler, heel Dolph Ziggler with Vicky Guerrero against Caval. It's only a 10-minute long match. It's for the Intercontinental title. Same show. Daniel Bryan, who's United States champion, wrestled Ted DiBiase Jr., which was also a really good match and also something I could have picked. Because Daniel Bryan does not feature in my top 10, purely because it's a tricky list to put together. So that's my number 10 choice, Dolph Ziggler against Caval / Loki Intercontinental title match from Survivor Series 2010. In at number 9, we go all the way back to 2004. Now, 2004 was a bit of a fallow period for me watching WWE. I clearly love WWE and have gone back and watched a lot of stuff, but there was a point mid-noughties where I kind of got a job and was kind of busy doing other stuff, and that sometimes stopped me from watching the shows live at the time. This, because it was Survivor Series, was one I always tried to catch. And it features, the match I'm going to talk to you about features one of my favourite wrestlers of all time, and I don't think he's a wrestler I've ever mentioned on the podcast before, but this is legit. This is a shoot. He's genuinely one of my favourite wrestlers of all time. Spike Dudley. I love him. I love Spike Dudley. I think he's great. Maybe it's because I used to be an English teacher, and Spike Dudley used to be an English teacher. We know this because we saw him in Beyond the Mat telling us that he used to be an English teacher. That is the best. It's a fatal four-way match for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Again, it's only a 10-minute long match. Spike Dudley, who I love and adored, was delighted to see him retain his Cruiserweight Championship against Billy Kidman, great, Chavo Guerrero, great, and Rey Mysterio, great. Back when Rey was still really, really good, you know, still having knee problems, wasn't quite at the peak of his sort of late 90s WCW era, but he was awesome. And again, this is a good show with you know, it's got your traditional 4-on-4 Survivor Series matches, shorter than normal. Sometimes you'll find, going back through Survivor Series archives, some of the Survivor Series matches, especially the big tag team 10-on-10 ones from 87-88, and some of the more recent main event Survivor Series matches have been 40-45 minutes long, which in theory they should be if they're 4-on-4 or 5-on-5. This featured in 2004 Team Guerrero, which was Eddie Guerrero, The Big Show, Rob Van Dam and John Cena, against Team Angle, which was Kurt Angle, Carlito, Luther Reigns and Mark Jindrak. Now, that's a 4-on-4 Survivor Series elimination match. You think, oh, that's going to it's gonna last a while. 12 minutes. 12 minutes. When we're not talking full-on Divas Division Survivor Series elimination matches where, you know, people are getting pinned off transition moves, but that's still pretty short. Okay, that was number 9. Number 8 features more Dudleys. I mean, they're relatives, but I am allowed to use them. Obviously, the Dudley Boys and the Hardy Boys, storied feud that, you know, genuinely is worth going... It's worth you going back and watching anything from the early noughties involving the Dudley Boys, the Hardys, and Edge and Christian. What I really love is sometimes going back and enjoying the matches that people... Everyone remembers the TLC matches, and rightly so. Completely understandable. Totally get that. One of my favourite pay-per-views of all time, I think I mentioned this a few times, is Royal Rumble 2000, which features an absolutely wonderful Hardy Boys, Dudley Boys match. A tremendous match. And you know, gimmick matches don't always need to be great. There's quite a lot at stake in this match. So it's the Dudley Boys, so Bubba Ray and Devon, representing the Alliance with Stacey Keibler. And they beat the Hardy Boys, Matt and Jeff, obviously, representing WWF. This is obviously during the whole Alliance invasion, etc. The main event of this show was the Stone Cold Steve Austin turning on... The main event was always going to be Team WWF against the Alliance, and the Alliance had Steve Austin with them, who turned and joined, and it just all got quite complicated. This is a 45-minute long Elimination Survivor Series match, and it's fine. But for me, the highlight of the show was the fact they were unifying all the other titles. So, for example, the WCW United States title and the WWF Intercontinental Championships were unified because Edge beat Test, so that's fine. But the Dudleys, who, even though they were meant to be Alliance, were always super popular because they were the fucking Dudleys, for God's sake. They beat the Hardy Boys in a steel cage match, and it just added another dynamic to what was already a great feud. I imagine if those guys had been around now, they'd be having some kind of Hell in a Cell with ladders on top of it on fire match. But it's not the case. But it is. It's not a super long match, but you know, when you just watch people and you think, I know you guys have wrestled each other a load of times before, but you've got the chemistry, and I'm more than happy to watch this again, and I'm going to watch it again, and I'm going to be happy about it. So, yeah, Survivor Series 2001, and right before that match, incidentally, is a William Regal versus Tajiri match, which, if you've ever seen William Regal do his live show, and I don't want to give too much away about this, you'll know how much he hates Tajiri. IRL, as I believe the kids say. So I don't know how serious he is, but he's played some jokes on him, more jokes than he's played on me, so that is saying something. So any excuse to watch with Mr. Regal, because obviously he's a friend and I think he's an absolute legend. But yeah, Survivor Series 2001, check out Dudley Boys versus the Hardys to unify the tag team championships. Right, so where were we? That is number 8 on the list. Number 7 on the list, another tag team match. And probably a slightly more surprising one. And again, based on the limitations of who we can pick, because of my rules, again, you can't use two matches from the same show, you can't use the same wrestler twice, even if it's a different identity. We're going all the way back to Survivor Series 1993. And if you're as old as me, you're probably thinking, oh yeah. Survivor Series 1993. What's he going with here? I'll tell you what I'm going with here. I'm going with something that, if you think about it now, is mind-blowing. I'm going with a title from another promotion being defended on a WWE pay-per-view. The Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Championship. This came up when we were doing the SummerSlam one as well, didn't it? Obviously, working agreement between Vince McMahon and Jim Cornette, who owned Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So, the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, defending the titles with the Heavenly Bodies, who at the time were Jimmy Del Rey and Tom Pritchard. It's just a really good old school Southern wrestling tag match that I would just recommend you watch. I am a big mark. I love the Rock and Roll Express. Ricky Morton has an enormously important part that place in wrestling. You know, you only have to see if you've done your job so well that a babyface in peril in a tag team match is likened to being like Ricky Morton, then you know if your name is used to describe something being done well in a match, then you've done well with your career. But the Heavenly Bodies, in particular Jimmy Del Rey, I just really got a soft spot for them. And if you ever get a chance, there's a lot of Smoky Mountain Wrestling on the WWE Network. I'd say it's worth looking at some of that. Some of the stuff they did was genuinely mind-blowing at the time. Some of it was borderline dodgy as anything. You know, how New Jack and Mustafa as the gangsters were portrayed there in a, you know, essentially, I'm going to say it, quite racist environment is genuinely, it's nuts to go back and watch now. But yeah, there's a lot of really cool Smoky Mountain stuff, and you get to see people like Chris Candido and Brian Lee, who did great jobs there, and then were used obviously in ECW and in WWE as well. So, but yeah, that tag match, I'll be honest with you, there's not a lot of other good stuff in Survivor Series 1993. I mean, just to let you know what the main event, this is a 28 minute long main event. Lex Luger, The Undertaker, when he wasn't what we now all know and love. The Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott, who were, of course, wonderful, but this isn't Japan, and they weren't necessarily the most motivated. Beat Yokozuna, Crush, Ludwig Borger, and Quebecer Jacques. Oh, my God. I mean, it could be worse. I mean, before that was the Four Doinks. The Four Doinks, which wasn't even including a doink. For the love of God. The Bushwhackers of Men on a Mission. Beating Bam Bam Bigelow, Bastian Booger and the Head Shrinkers. Poor heel team there. You look at something and go, what have we done to deserve this? So the rest of 1993's Survivor Series isn't necessarily the best, if we're being honest. But does feature just a cracking, nearly 15-minute long tag match for the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Championship halfway through. Okay, on to number six. This might come across as a weird choice. It is the only traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series match in my top 10 list. Partly because picking them makes it difficult to pick other matches, and partly because there's been so many really good singles matches and tag team matches and through the Survivor Series events through the years that, you know, I just would prefer to pick those. This, however, is great and is something that made me aware of a tag team who weren't in WWE for particularly long. And I know what you're thinking now. What tag team could Smallman mean? What does he mean? Who does he mean? Who could it be? Was it Power and Glory featuring Paul Roma? No. No, it was not. It was something that I think when I got back into wrestling made me realise that I needed to go and look at a lot of Japanese wrestling. So it's a 5-on-5 Survivor Series match featuring 10 women. And if we're being honest, women's wrestling in 1987 was not at the peak that it's at now. But it featured two women in particular on one side, another two on the other side, who certainly played their part in a feud that lasted for a while, who blew my mind. And when I got back into wrestling in the late 90s and I started tape trading and that, were the reason I sought out as much Japanese women's wrestling as I did. So it was a team of the Jumping Bomb Angels who were doing mind-blowing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Glowing stuff. It's Tsuki Yamazaki and Noriya Tateno. They were tremendous, absolutely tremendous. So the Jumping Bomb Angels, the Fabulous Moolah, who you'll know, Rockin' Robin and Velvet McIntyre, up against Sensational Sherry, who at the time was the WWF Women's Champion, the WWF Women's Tag Team Champions, the Glamour Girls, who were very good in their own right, Leilani Kai and Judy Martin, and had a very good feud with the Jumping Bomb Angels, Donna Christianello and Dawn Marie. Not that Dawn Marie, the one who was with Lance Storm and that. No, it's not that one. The Jumping Bomb Angels are unbelievable in this match, doing stuff that you are just not expecting to see. Likewise, Leilani Kai is doing stuff. I mean, she busts out an electric chair drop during this match, which is nuts if you think about it. But just loads of really, really cool stuff that was ahead of its time. You watch it now and you'll be like, okay, it's not Charlotte and Sasha Banks and Bayley and so on. But it is still, I assure you, genuinely really, really good. And if that's what it takes to have an introduction to the Jumping Bomb Angels, then you should have it. And, you know, just to put it into perspective, the main event of Survivor Series 1987, which is the first Survivor Series, was Andre the Giant, One Man Gang, King Kong Bundy, Butch Reed and Rick Rude against Hulk Hogan, Paul Orndorff, Don Morocco, Ken Patera and Bam Bam Bigelow. And that is a proper who's who. But the match that really sticks out for me is that women's match, and also the tag team Survivor Series match, which is 10 tag teams. So just, an, you know, 20 men around the ring. And it goes on, I'm going to look this up. That match is 37 minutes long. Very long, but very, very good indeed. But honestly, Survivor Series 1987 only has four matches on it. Go and watch it. Watch that women's match and go, oh, yeah. Yeah, before the Divas, there was women's wrestling and it was good. So, you know, I certainly approve and recommend that match. Okay. Number five. We go to 2007. Now, we're all aware that The Undertaker is great. The Undertaker has had fantastic matches under difficult circumstances, because the guy's getting old, but has had fantastic matches at WrestleManias for the last few years. But there was a point. The Undertaker was an attraction in the 1990s. He was an anomaly. And then I think, personally, it was in the sort of mid-2000s, he just was kind of sort of plodding along. And I know he had his streak, but he wasn't having five-star matches all the time. He just wasn't. In 2007, I think he had one of the first matches that really set him onto his absolute hot streak. That sort of culminated with the various matches he was having with Shawn Michaels, etc. 2007, main event of Survivor Series is a Hell in a Cell match. It's for the World Heavyweight Championship, and it's The Undertaker, obviously, against Batista. I've never been the biggest fan of Batista. Do you know what? He's not a bad actor. He's really good at acting. He's good in that Bond film. He's good in Guardians of the Galaxy. But he's not my thing. I think you probably know from listening to Tuesday Night Jaw what sort of wrestlers I like and what sort of wrestling I'm into. And Undertaker against Batista is not necessarily something that's going to float my boat. I would say that this match is nuts. You know, there's lots of weapons and stuff in it. There's loads of near falls. There's some severe skullduggery involving Edge, which is quite creative. And it furthers a feud while still having a really, really good match. And it was, I think it was the first point in a long time where I looked at both. Batista was exciting when he first sort of broke in. And it's the first point I sort of looked on both and went, oh, do you know what? I enjoy both of your work. I really, really enjoyed this. It's unusual for me to enjoy that kind of sports entertainment main event match as much as I did. But at the time, I remember watching it and thinking, this is great. I wasn't expecting to be on the edge of the seat for this, and I am on the edge of my seat, and this is to certainly be applauded. So, yeah, I would heartily recommend that. It's probably one of the lesser thought of Hell in a Cell matches, because people always tend to think of Undertaker Shawn Michaels, the first one, Undertaker Mankind, and so on and so forth, and obviously the more recent ones that are all stuck in our head because we've just seen them. But I go back and look that up. It's a decent one. Number four on the list. Yep, it's Jim Smallman. There is obviously going to be a CM Punk match on here. And there is. CM Punk versus Alberto Del Rio when CM Punk reclaimed his world title and then held it forever. Obviously, we'd had Money in the Bank earlier in the year in 2011. My favourite WWE match ever. CM Punk against John Cena in Chicago, where everyone thought Cena was going to win, including smart ass me. And what actually happened was Punk won, Punk buggered off, and then between then and Survivor Series, I mean, he nearly lost it straight away to Alberto Del Rio on the night of Money in the Bank, but outsmarted him, but of course did lose his title, and then had to reclaim it at Survivor Series in 2011. I know I've mentioned many a time how much I like CM Punk. He's one of my favourite wrestlers ever. Love him to bits. I really like Alberto Del Rio. Genuinely really, really like him. My business partner Glenn doesn't like him. I've never been able to figure out why. But I just think he's smashing. Absolutely smashing. This isn't the main event, though, of Survivor Series 2011. Can you remember what it is? See if it pops into your head. Because you think CM Punk, Alberto Del Rio, that should certainly be main event. That's huge. No, it was John Cena and The Rock. And at that point, you'd be like, yeah, I get that. Okay, I understand that. It's John Cena and The Rock beating The Miz and R-Truth, which is a bit of a weird one. it's a bit of a weird... It was actually quite good. But if you look at it now and go, whoa. But I don't think you can look beyond CM Punk starting his 434-day run as WWE champion by beating Alberto Del Rio. Two guys I really, really like, and two guys who meshed really, really well. Really, really well. I think there's going to be people who go, really? No, genuinely, really, really, really work really well together. And a match I wouldn't mind seeing again, to be honest. If either of them fancy it. Probably don't do it in a UFC cage, though, if we're honest. Number three. This is a cracking match. And when I started putting the list together, I was like, oh, I forgot that was at a Survivor Series because it had its own pay-per-view for a bit. But it is the 2002 Elimination Chamber match. Shawn Michaels versus Booker T, Chris Jericho, Kane, Rob Van Dam, and Triple H. You can see how difficult it is because you've got to get all these people in one match. There's six people who could feasibly all be in other matches. It's weird. I'm not... The Elimination Chamber has been used a bit, and I'm not a massive fan of the structure, which is bizarre when you consider that in this match it's absolutely tremendous. It is ridiculously good. And I believe it was the first Elimination Chamber match, wasn't it? And I suppose you may as well get the use out of it if you've built the cage. You may as well. But such a good match. Such a good match. If you're not familiar with the Elimination Chamber match, it's six wrestlers, two start off, the other four are locked in pods, and eventually they get revealed. This led to the Shawn Michaels Triple H feud over the World Heavyweight Championship that just carried on and on and on and on and on and on and on. But was a good feud, as often feuds between two legitimate friends tend to be, bounce more ideas off of each other and so on and so forth. But I remember, and I think I've said this before, when Shawn Michaels came back from injury and had the amazing SummerSlam no disqualification match with Triple H, the unsanctioned street fight thingamajig, which is a wonderful match. That was the point I started caring about him. Wasn't bothered about him in my teenage years. I liked him when he was in the Rockers, but the Rockers were just they were a mid-card tag team. Wasn't massively fussed about DX and stuff like that. This was the point where I started caring about him and started noticing how good he was. And in that case, he's in a match with some legitimately great wrestlers. You know, you can mock Kane now for what he, you know, possibly chose to wear on a BBC News programme, but Kane has always been a big star. Rob Van Dam has always been, you know, one of my favourites. Chris Jericho is great. Booker T is great. Triple H is obviously one of the all-time greats. It's a tremendous match and a tremendous use of a new structure and getting that over. It's a 40-minute long match, and do you know what? There'll be points when you're watching that match and you'll think, I know it's a 40-minute long match, but you'll be watching it. You don't look at a watch and it'll be over and you'll be like, but that was what? That was 40 minutes. Yes, it was 40 minutes. I will also say that this is the same Survivor Series 2002 where the Big Show beat Brock Lesnar in 4 minutes for Brock Lesnar's title at a point that genuinely made me go, eh? At my TV screen when I watched it live at the time. I was really perturbed at that. I was like, what? But, you know, it's all a Paul Heyman thing and it worked. Okay, so that was number three. Now, you know that match is good. That's a really good match. So there's two matches ahead of it. What do you think they are? Before I say what they are, what do you think they are? Okay, number two. Now, I mentioned it's difficult because we've clearly had our Shawn Michaels match now. Okay, so who am I going to pick for a Bret Hart match, which is my number two? It's Survivor Series 1996. It's Bret Hart against Steve Austin in Madison Square Garden. It is a wonderful match with a wonderful finish. I know it's a recycled finish that was used in Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper at WrestleMania a few years before. But that's not the point. It's a brilliant match. And this is the point where I think everyone started realizing that Steve Austin was the real deal. This was, he's tremendous in this match. Of course, it's pre-neck injury. So it's post him winning King of the Ring and post the Austin 316 stuff. And it's pre-Bret Hart turning heel. But it's all the point where all the seeds are starting to be sown. And then obviously at WrestleMania the next year in 1997... was the point where they had their double turn match in Chicago, I believe. So it's wonderful. It's just a wonderful match of two guys totally at the top of their game, two guys who respect each other, really want to work hard with each other, have that old school mentality and attitude towards wrestling, and just go out and put on an absolute masterclass. I believe there's a Steve Austin podcast where he talks you through both this and their WrestleMania 13 match as well. Just sort of play by play, blow by blow, exactly what he was thinking at the time. But go back and watch this and just realise how exciting it was at the time to see someone like Austin, who, again, didn't really have a gimmick. Just a gimmick. His gimmick was that he was just a beer drinking, nasty, sweary Texan, and was good at what he did, was good at brawling, was good at wrestling. And this is back when he, you know, pre-injury, we didn't need to brawl quite so much. He's a great wrestler in this match. Really at the peak of his powers. So that's number two. Number one. I'm going to be the first to admit this is not the best match of all time. It's my favourite Survivor Series match, but I know it's not a brilliant match. But it's the culmination of my favourite Survivor Series. And my favourite Survivor Series is one long story. So Survivor Series 1998 became a tournament to crown the WWE champion. And so there was, it was a one-night tournament, and there was various matches, and some people were given an easy route through, and some people weren't. And the final match is The Rock, who is being cheered by everybody, and Mankind, who is people just treat as a lovable idiot because he's gone. He's decided to try and be all corporate, and he's decided to try and win the WWE title and win the love of Vince McMahon, and he's been given very much an easy enough route into the final. And it's expected that he's going to win it, and he's going to take the title back to the McMahon family, and you know, The Rock, who is on the cusp of greatness and being cheered massively by everybody, is not going to win the title. He's going to get screwed out of it. What actually happens is they play off the Montreal Screwjob from the year before. You'll note I didn't choose that because even though it's actually quite a good match for the 12 minutes that it lasts, I don't think you can choose it based on what happens. But yeah, they play off that. The Rock is actually revealed to have allied himself with Vince McMahon. We've had a tournament of twists and turns, and it's like a really, really tightly... It's like a really, really tightly wound, one of the best episodes of Raw you've ever seen, but on a pay-per-view scale, I think is the best way of putting Survivor Series 1998. It's wonderful. It's wonderfully written and very Attitude Era. And it's, you know, the wrestling purists will be like, yeah, but there's a lot of, like, there's Dwayne Gill on it. Yeah, but it made sense at the time. It was all good. So The Rock wins the title. The Rock goes on to mega, mega stardom as a heel. Mankind goes on to his run, which culminates in him actually winning the WWE title a couple of months after it, which is one of my happiest periods as a wrestling fan, I think. I remember being delighted when he eventually won the title, and this is the point that set it all up. But that whole show is all to set this up. Also features a really, really good Steve Austin Mankind match as well during the same show, which I could easily have chosen. But just that final match, just for how it defined two characters, it brought so much writing together, and at the time, genuinely brought me so much joy. That would be my choice. That's my favourite. So, what's yours? Tweet me, at Jim Smallman. Take a little picture, write on a notepad on your phone, screenshot it, send it to me. At Jim Smallman, hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw. Don't forget the rules. You can only choose one match per Survivor Series for each year. And you can only use one each wrestler once. I keep looking at my list and going, I'm sure, have I used anyone twice? I really hope I haven't. But I want to know who you choose. Right? Hopefully next week, family life and work life and trying to get some sleep permitting. Tuesday Night Jaw will be back on Tuesday. There's a small chance it might be on Wednesday, but I'll try and make sure it's up on Tuesday. Don't know what I've got planned yet. I know I have got a couple of pretty cool interviews lined up over the next month or so, plus the Survivor Series Roundtable, which will be a week later than normal, mainly because I'm not about initially to record it. So we'll have a whole week to digest Survivor Series and the Raw and SmackDown fallout after it, and then I will get together with Pip and a couple of very cool guests to do the Survivor Series Roundtable the week after. So yeah, let me know your choice, your 10 favourite Survivor Series matches of all time. Follow my rules. Very important. You must follow the rules. That is very important. Rules are important. Structure is important. Hope you've enjoyed this little mini episode. I'm now going to make myself a cup of decaffeinated coffee, and I'm going to try and get some sleep before another chaotic day tomorrow. Don't forget, keep supporting the Distraction Pieces Network. Anything that you can do to recommend this, recommend any of the Distraction Pieces Network podcasts, rate us, review us, subscribe to us, all that stuff is super helpful. My website is jimsmallman.com, my little wrestling company's website, progresswrestling.com, and demand-progress.com. Good. Thanks for listening. Thank you for your patience this week, as I've been gadding about all over the place. I'll look forward to seeing your top 10 selections ASAP. Thanks, guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.